So probably I look quite different now than 2 years ago. One gets older and things become less important. So I told Tiberius that I would probably use 2 minutes less. But of course, I may use 2 minutes more. Okay, so citizen science in 2019. What has changed, or what is going to change, or what do we hope will change? These are not always the same things. So we usually talk about normal science. The word normal is not used. These are essentially the larger scientific communities, including publishers who are here, scientists, universities, funders, and hopefully little policymakers. When we come to what we call citizen science, things, I believe, do change more than just one word. Now, what is citizen science? Has been arguing today about the definition. My definition is citizen science is any scientific endeavor in which citizens actively participate. So they are not just in a clinical study, the patients that you check their blood pressure or so, they are active. Now, of course, this begs the question, what is a citizen? Am I, who used to be a physicist, when I now work in a physics citizen science project, am I a citizen or am I not? My answer to that, we had discussed this with philosophers who didn't like to retire, so they talk forever. I would say someone who has been professional but after a while is doing other things or enters a project as a citizen, as through the community, would always be a citizen science. Now, I will talk a little bit about the status of this citizen science, what are the goals of the European Committee, principles and guidelines. Then a simple classification of projects, which I think is quite important, and added value indicators, and so on. Okay, now open science has been mentioned probably in every talk today. I don't need to say much. We have 8 aspects of it, 3 of which were covered by Paul in half an hour, so I get 1 also in half an hour, so it shows you how much faster he can talk and how probably more intelligent he is thanks to artificial intelligence and so on. So I will go on one of these topics. Now, these topics have been set by the European Commission, and I will later make a comment on that. But for me, citizen science is not just one of these. It's a special one. Why? It's a real, genuine addition. If you can argue about open access, but it's still publishing. Maybe you enlarge the community that can read it, but you don't change science as such. In citizen science, you do. You have more people available to do research, different ideas, different views. Now, citizen science is also a laboratory of open science. Without open science, you can't do citizen science. If you don't have open access, no citizen can read what you are publishing. And I think, unlike open access, which has taken 5 years now and still not there, citizen science can be immediately introduced because it's something positive, it's something new. Now, what are the goals of the European Commission? Now, I should say this is the old Commission, and the new Commission may just cross out all these goals. We hope not, and the signs are positive, but this this open science enthusiasm may be different in the new committee. So here are all these goals. We don't need to look at them really. So they want more citizen science. They want to highlight the particular achievements, what are important projects. They want a regular overview. And I think that's an interesting part, the changes. Open fair data, etc. We'll come to this. The more important part from the development of citizen science is the last 2 points. Citizen science should play a large role in societal, what they call societal challenges. So things like climate, environment, biodiversity, pollution, and so on. Because the idea is that if citizens are behind it, politicians will hear more. And the second one is fostering innovation, including industry, including private enterprise, into the effort. So these are the new ways we think we will go. So what is some information? I estimate that there are about 3,000 little or bigger projects in citizen science in Europe. There are about a few hundred thousands of people active. This number is a little bit better documented in the US. They are similar. Now, how do citizens actively participate? Now, the degrees are varying. Again, the tendency is to improve the participation. That is, citizens will not only collect data for you, but they will tell you what to do with it or which data to collect. Now, there are estimates how many people at all are interested. And the estimate now is that about 10% of the people are interested, but only 1%, so a tenth, will actually be active and help. And I think factors of 2 or 3 in this can be achieved. Professional scientists, they usually don't like so much citizen science. It's a weak science, they think. We know ourselves how weak normal science sometimes can be. I think this is something that can be improved by clever information and especially systematically giving examples. Now, the last point, I think, and here I will come to my classification. So the number of research topics, the new IT possibility topics improved the topics that were out of reach before, biodiversity, all sources, all the documents that are in local archives, all these can be accessed now. Citizens can be very helpful, like all of us, in analyzing complex data that's not attainable by artificial intelligence. And most important, citizens have other interests. The interests of citizens transformed into scientific projects will increase the scope of our topics. There are, in fact, scientific surveys on this. There's a project called Simulact, which has measured in some way the overlap of what scientists believe is important and what citizens mean is important. Okay, here's some arguments why citizen science is in fact science, high level science. Migratory birds, we heard about butterflies. These are topics that are usually or have been first covered by citizens, and the publishing is high, and people do high-level research on it. Now, another topic that has come up is the disappearance of insects. This was an etymological society in a German city that, among with help from others, discovered or confirmed that the number of insects, pollinators, again, Tiberius talked about it, has diminished quite a bit. And what is interesting here is that this society, although these are sometimes obstinate people, they have kept archives and observations for 20 or 30 years, something that scientists usually don't do. So long-term projects are typical citizen science projects. And you ask yourself whether Google Scholar will keep its archives for 30 years. Let me see, I have. So the thing, what I believe is a goal, to, a way to new citizen science projects are topics in medicine. This, I think, is one of the greatest possibilities to improve. Large part of medical care and can you? So I will give a more general view on that. So precision medicine, personal medicine as it's called, empowerment of patients, that should be our next view on citizen science. Multi-actor project. So this is what I said about societal goals. Projects in which not only scientists and citizens work together, but also policymakers, decision makers. And the EU, in one of its present pushes for improving citizen science, is to include policymakers. So to have projects combined with actors from different fields. And lastly, to give you a picture, the EU funding goes to about 1.5% to projects including citizen science. Okay, here a picture of what it could mean, citizen science and precision medicine. There are several projects now on the way. The idea is that patients provide their data, but also tell you what you can do with them, not just using it without. So the idea is that citizens take medicine in their own hands. Okay. So this, we had a talk about how to improve vaccination rates. I think this goes essentially in that direction. Good. Now, what are the basic principles that are used in citizen science? So citizen science should follow good scientific behavior. I think we all agree on that. All ethical and legal rules should apply. Citizens should contribute at each stage. Citizens are properly acknowledged or become authors when publishing. The project governance should be transparent and open. The principles of open science must be followed, or as much as possible. I think this is a basis for citizen science. The projects, and this is something I added to the usual principle, there should be some sort of scientific guidance. This could be a professional scientist, this could be a university, this could be someone citizens hire, or similar. I think with professional guidance, a project gets off much better. And all these principles, again, they were not explicitly included in older projects, but now are made more visible and more are included. So here is my classification of projects. So we have projects that are mostly scientific in interest, projects that include policymakers, like societal changes and so on, projects that involve the private sector, so companies, projects related to medicine, and I took as a special class projects that refer to learning and education. Of course, you can learn from anything you do, but some projects, for instance, citizen science projects with schools, are specifically directed at teaching science or literature, and I think we can, with using such a classification, we can easily group the interest and the actors of a project. So what are the lessons, have we learned? Projects should have, as I said, a transparent, sustained community management. Transparent communication between the community of the research project and the governance. The universities, academies, for instance, they should recognize citizen science as a proper tool of doing research and with its benefits to connect to society, to improve the standing of university in society. Universities should have a single point of contact. This is something I discussed 2 years ago within the institution, and which allows the connection to citizen groups, but also to politics. So, so-called citizen science center. And I show you immediately an example, but I think a very good possibility are the libraries. Libraries who, at least the one in Zurich, is losing its books at a very fast pace, and students, researchers look mostly at screens. So the library that was always a center of communication of different people could become a center for citizens. The academies work that way, and possibly others. And important, and this is something I learned recently, you should have good partners from the outside. And the best partners, I realized, are newspapers. Local newspapers that carry the project, that reach many people, and that do the advertising for free for you. If you get a journalist interested, this is your best guarantee. This is the Zurich version. As everything in Switzerland, it's perfect. It's costly, and it may not be very efficient at the end. So we have a citizen science center, which consists of two parts, citizen science, what we call academy, where we teach citizen science. So publishers could think about books on citizen science, textbooks. And we have a part that connects mostly to projects, to international projects also, which they call next generation citizen science. So these together form an entity. We have about 6 or 8 people that sit together in a flight of offices. People can come in, talk to us. I go there from time to time. It is something that still needs to be developed. And if, for instance, it is connected to the library, it can rely on an existing structure. So we come to one of the last slides. Now, how to measure citizen science. We have talked about matrices and metrics and indicators, and of course nowadays you have to find indicators also for citizen science. I've worked a little bit on that recently. I've looked at what the European Commission does, and the newest buzzword is not indicators, but indicator framework. So you don't just start thinking what is the number of papers and how much money did you get, but you think first of the framework in which you want to use indicators. What is the goal of using indicators? Do you want to give it, to use it to give money to someone? Do you want to monitor the progress? Do you want to see how much people have learned? What kind of people, what kind of groups are you going to evaluate? And what sort of projects you want to look at? So first you set yourself a frame of such indicators, and then you look at specific dimensions. In citizen science, I think these seven dimensions that you see here are probably the most important ones. Maybe there are others: scientific, the participation, the societal impact, inclusion in society, open science dimension, how much you use open science, learning dimension, and legal aspects. So all together you can form now a framework of indicators, and this might be used for further use. So to make things a bit easier, again, the EU is advocating a toolkit on which I've worked myself. And the toolkits are like books or tables, how to carry out a project. Again, I think that's something one could do in a more systematic levels. The first toolkits were just written down by people who did projects and wanted to get a little bit of guidance. But recently more expensive, extensive, also probably more expensive, toolkits are being developed with a much more integrated view on what is needed. So you need an interesting portal to enter it, to make people curious about citizen science. And you need to find out what is really a project, what is a project manager, a responsible person. And once you get to that steps, of course, you start thinking about the project itself. And the questions that should be asked by the project people, these are the ones that the toolkit will ask. And what I think is very important, usually not done in most of the scientific research, is to monitor the long-term aspects. We talked about impact before, but what is the impact? How long should we look for impact? If I look at my own papers, as bad as they are, some have come up only in the last 2 years or so, after 30 years of being quaint in some archive, and have become more interesting. So people nowadays may use interesting results that you got much earlier. Of course, none of these impact factors will measure those, although I think that's important, and that's particularly important for citizen science. Okay, so this is what I want to tell you. I hope some of you will be interested. I'm happy to answer questions. Thank you.